So just as we were coming in this morning, there's a group of women who are going to be going to the Women's March in St. Paul. They're meeting here. So anyway, it's kind of nice. We're having a different kind of political response by sitting Sishin today. And both, all different kinds of responses are needed. So I'm happy that they're doing that, and I'm happy we're doing this. So, Shobo Genzo. If it was too big of a pile, it would have just fallen in my lap. So this morning, as I was looking over the fascicle again, Ryujin, Dragon Song, and the various translations that I have access to, and the one that I had said was my favorite, which is by Francis H. Cook, and was the first one, the first time that I encountered this fascicle. Anyway, so I thought, well, I wonder what other people think about this translator. So I was going online to see if I could find, you know, some information. And I didn't exactly find that. But what I did find was a few people raving about the Nishijima and Cross translation. So I thought, oh, that's nice. And someone said, oh, and it's free, available online here. Click here for the PDF. So I did, and it said page not found. And but then it said something, blah, 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 and whatever, and it's like, we're no longer offering free resources. So I was standing in the Dokusan room, kind of just getting ready to come in, and I looked over at my bookshelf, and on the bottom, so, and this was donated, and it's three volumes, and we're missing one, but luckily the one, that, one of the ones that I have has Ryujin in it. So I think what I'd like to do is just read it. I obviously didn't have time to thoroughly study it, but it might be nice to just hear it all the way through, and you can just let it wash over you, and then we can talk about it. And I have some other things to say, and I might refer to at least one of the other translations. I'll just say in the just letting it wash over you, I did listen to a little bit of a podcast, which was Kaz Ta-Nehisi, Carl Bielenfeld, Natalie Goldberg, and Joan Halifax on their favorite essays from the Shobo Genzo. And Joan Halifax, her favorite was, well, she sort of demurred in saying, well, we try to not say that there's preferences, but this one really speaks to me. And she didn't say much about it in the way of commentary. Her take on it was, listen to this phrase, a dragon singing in a withered tree. And don't add anything. Just if you add something, that ruins it. So I thought, well, we're ruining it together by talking more about it. But we can still talk about it with that same attitude of, we notice our mind trying to figure it out, we let go of that, but we don't disparage our mind that wants to figure things out. We also let that be there and be gentle with it. So anyway, that's the way I like to study Dogen. So there's a little kind of introduction in this translation before getting into the Dogen translation. So I'm going to read the introduction too, because it's similar to one that I saw in another, in the Shinji Shobo Genzo by the same, one of the same translators, Nishijima. And anyway, the Shinji Shobo Genzo has the, just the dialogues that Dogen is recording. And then later he used those, so the dialogues from the ancient masters, and then later he used those to make these fascicles. So this is kind of like the source text, so that's kind of interesting too. But we don't have time to do everything, so. So we have the actual Ryujin translation from Dogen, but here's the translator's notes at the beginning. Ryu means dragons, and gin means sing, chant, or moan. I said that yesterday. You know, it has these different, you know, groan or... dragons, of course, are not living animals, but are mythical animals. So it would be very strange for dragons to sing or moan. In short, it is impossible for dragons to sing or moan. But in ancient China, people used the word ryujin, the moaning of dragons, or the whispers of dragons, it's another variation, as a symbol of something mystical in nature or in the universe. For example, in the expression Kobuku Ryujin, Kobuku means withered trees. The words conjure an image of a lonely, desolate landscape of withered trees, where we feel we can hear something that is not a sound. The moaning of dragons is not a sound, but something which cannot be heard with the ears alone. That is quietness, nature, the universe, or reality. Buddhism is not simply mysticism, and so we should not really, not readily believe in the existence of something mystical. At the same time, we should not limit reality to the area of sensory perception. On this basis, Master Dogen explains the meaning of Ryujin, or the moaning of dragons, in this chapter. So I also want to say before I start reading it, just by way of reminder, about why I think it's really helpful to be studying this fascicle at this particular time, because some of us might be called to some kind of political action. So if we're not marching today, maybe, you know, at another time we'll want to do something or say something. And I think it's really important that we act from this source of fundamental reality, not being caught up in outcomes and not being caught up, not really being caught by thinking our way is right. So that's why it's helpful, I think, at any time, but maybe at this particular time, to be studying this. And it's another interesting thing. Every single translation has a different spelling and of the Zen masters. So if I mispronounce, I apologize. It's really difficult. Great Master Jishai of Tosuzan Mountain in Joshu, the story goes, is asked by a monk, among withered trees, does the moaning of dragons exist or not? The master says, I say that inside of skulls exists the lion's roar. Talk of withered trees and dead ash is the original teaching of non-Buddhists. But the withered trees of which non-Buddhists speak and the withered trees of which Buddhist patriarchs speak may be very different. Even though non-Buddhists talk of withered trees, they do not know withered trees. How much less could they hear the moaning of dragons? Non-Buddhists have thought, and by the way, as I said yesterday, we can include ourselves in non-Buddhists, like sometimes we're non-Buddhists, so I don't want to be disparaging people of other religions, but it's just like having a different view that's not maybe open, that's not open to this wide fundamental view. Non-Buddhists have thought that withered trees might be trees in decay. They have understood that withered trees cannot meet spring. The withered trees of which the Buddhist patriarchs speak are in the learning practice of the sea having dried. The sea having dried is a tree having withered. And a tree having withered is the vivid state of meeting spring. A tree not being disturbed is the withered state. the mountain trees, ocean trees, sky trees, and other trees of the present are just withered trees. Even a sprouting bud is the moaning of dragons among the withered trees. Even a tree of 100,000 myriad fathoms, a large tree, is a descendant of withered trees. The form, nature, substance, and energy of the withered state are the withered stumps which Buddhist patriarchs have described and are other than withered stumps. They are trees in the mountains and valleys, and there are trees in the fields and villages. Trees in the mountains and valleys are usually called pines and oaks. Trees in the fields and villages are usually called human beings and gods. Leaves spread out from roots. We call this state a Buddhist patriarch. Root and branch should return to the fundamental. This is just learning of the state. What exists in the state like this is the long Dharma body of a withered tree or the short Dharma body of a withered tree. Those who are not withered trees never moan the moaning of dragons, and those other than withered trees do not get rid of the moaning of dragons. However many times this withered tree meets spring, it does not change its mind. This statement is the moaning of dragons that has become totally dry. It does not belong on the scale do, re, mi, fa, so, and at the same time, do, re, mi, fa, so are two or three former and latter instances of the moaning of dragons. That being so, this monk's expression, among withered trees, does the moaning of dragons exist or not? Which has been realized as a concrete question for the first time in countless kalpas. This question is the realization of a comment in itself. Tosu's words, "I say that inside skulls exists the lion's roar," mean, "Is there anything that is covered?" They mean, the effort to curb ourselves and to promote others is ceaseless. And they mean skulls are littering the whole countryside. All right, we'll take a breath before I go on. That's a lot. Great Master Shuto of Kyogenji Temple, the story goes, is asked by a monk, "What is the truth?" The master says, "The moaning of dragons among withered trees." The monk says, "I do not understand." The master says, "Eyes and skulls." Thereafter, a monk asked Seikiso, "What is the moaning of dragons among withered trees?" Seikiso says, "A trace of joy still being retained." The monk says, "What are eyes and skulls?" Seikiso says, "A trace of consciousness still being retained." On another occasion, a monk asked Sōsan, it's not the same as me, different characters, "What is the moaning of dragons among withered trees?" Sōsan says, "The bloodline being unbroken." The monk says, "What are eyes in skulls?" Sōsan says, "Dryness being without limit." The monk says, "I wonder if there are any who are able to hear." Sōsan says, "Over the whole earth, there is no one who does not hear." The monk says, "I wonder what words the dragons moan." Sōsan says, "Even without knowing the words, those who hear all share the loss." And I'll just say loss could be a positive thing, like losing your grasping. The listeners and moaners we are discussing are now beyond the level of moaners who moan about dragons. This melody is the moaning of dragons itself. In other words, what we're talking about right now is the moaning of dragons itself. Among withered trees and in skulls are beyond inside and outside, beyond self and others. They are the moment of the present and the moment of eternity. A trace of joy still being retained is horns growing further on ahead. So something extra that's not needed added on. The words, the bloodline being unbroken, describe the truth being non-inimical and the body being turned around in mid-speech. Dryness being without limit is the sea having dried and the bottom not being reached. Because not reaching the limit is dryness itself. In the state of dryness, we continue to dry. Saying, are there any who hear, is as if to say, are there any who cannot hear? Over the whole earth, there is no one who does not hear. I would like to ask further. Setting aside for a while, there is no one who does not hear. Tell me, before the whole earth exists, where then is the moaning of dragons? Speak at once, speak at once. I wonder what words the dragons moan. We should ask this question. Moaning dragons are naturally a sound being voiced or a matter being taken up in the mud. They are the passing of air inside the nostrils. We do not know what these words are, describes the existence in words of dragons. Those who hear all share the loss. How sorrowful it is. The moaning of dragons that has now been realized by Kyojin, Sekiso, and Sosan, and the others, becomes clouds and becomes water. Without speaking the truth, without speaking of eyes or skulls, this is just the moaning of dragons in 1,000 melodies and in 10,000 melodies. A trace of joy still being retained is the croaking of bullfrogs. A trace of consciousness still being retained is the singing of earthworms. Relying on this state, the bloodline is unbroken and a gourd succeeds a gourd. Because dryness is without limit, outdoor pillars gestate and give birth, and a stone lantern stands out against a stone lantern. So that's just sort of being washed over by Dogen. And maybe there were some images that spoke to you. But what I'll do is I'll speak to some of them, kind of continuing from yesterday, and then leave some time for questions and comments. So I'm going to go back for a moment to my original translation because it'll be easier for me to speak from this. So the line here says, the dragon song of this present inquirer and that of the other singers. So I think that's also said in here, like, in a slightly different way. The listeners and moaners we are discussing now. So in other words, these monks with their questions and the masters with their answers. So he's saying, so all these different dialogues are not at all the same. So we might have an idea, oh, they're all talking about the same thing. And sometimes we say that, like, that was a question yesterday. So isn't this just like, we all have Buddha nature hearing the dragon song? And I said, yes, It is like that, but it also isn't. So it's also important to say there are different ways of saying things, and there's different in different people, and there is this and that. So, and we see that, like in the political world, not everything is the same. There are differences. So we need to acknowledge that. But here we're talking about the differences from within the fundamental, touching the absolute. So he says these different songs are not the same. And then says, this present tune is the true dragon song. So it's very interesting. And at least in this translation, it seems to first say at the beginning, the song of this present inquirer, which is referring to the present inquiry being, is there still a dragon singing within the withered tree? So that happened a long time ago. But he's calling it a present inquiry. And it is present in the sense that we're talking about it now. But then it kind of goes a little further more into the present and says, right now what I'm saying is the true dragon song. And we could read that and think, okay, yeah, that's what Dogen was saying back then, was the true dragon song. But really what he's saying is that the now is the true dragon song. Right now, it's still happening. And then there's another interesting here, the meaning of within a withered tree and within a skull has nothing to do with such distinctions as inside or outside, self or others. So sometimes when we might have a way of picturing that image of a dragon singing within a withered tree. So I don't know what came to your mind. Someone might actually see a dragon like perched in the branches of a tree, which of course is a little bit difficult because you would imagine that a dragon couldn't really perch in a tree, especially a withered tree. It would just collapse because a dragon is pretty big, at least in my mythology. But I think it isn't about whether the dragon's in the tree, like in the wood of the tree, or on the tree. It's not about inside or outside. So in my mind, I thought of it as in, like the dragon's song is within the wood somehow, like magically there's a dragon within the wood. So that's a way of taking up the metaphor. Okay, pretty good. Or someone else might picture, oh, the dragon kind of outside of the tree perched on top, which is also impossible, and and then play with that image. So that's okay. And I think the reason that any of those images are good is because they're impossible. They're kind of impossible images. But then to remember that it really isn't, we can use these metaphors and it can be helpful, but it's not about that. It's not about inside or outside, self or other. And then he says, they are both the eternal now and the eternal past. And then, very interesting too, the next line. So there's the meaning of still involved with pleasure is that horns are growing on the dragon's head. And horns are a pretty common expression, meaning like something that's not needed, added on extra. Well, some animals' horns are important, but maybe for a dragon it wouldn't be so important because the dragon's got a lot of other things going for it. It doesn't need horns. So that seems to be saying that pleasure or joy is extra and like you should get rid of it. When I first hear that, like, oh, okay, you are still involved with pleasure means horns growing on the head, means it's extra, you don't need it, forget about it. But then the next line says, still stuck in consciousness. Okay, so still stuck in consciousness also sounds kind of like a judgment. You're stuck, so you should get rid of consciousness. Don't be stuck. But then it says, still stuck in consciousness means that the skin is shed completely. And from my notes, the first time that I studied this, skin is shed completely means withered tree. Withered tree means absolute. So suddenly, still stuck in consciousness also is the absolute. And then that, by extension, still involved with pleasure is, it might be extra, but it's also the absolute too. So there's nothing to get rid of. I think it's very helpful to have that in mind as we navigate in a world where we might feel like there's a lot of things to get rid of and a lot of things we're unhappy with, and we should work for the benefit of all. We should do what we can to ease suffering. But at the same time, the letting go of outcome is realizing that even the suffering, even the worst thing we can imagine, is still the withered tree, it's still the dragon's song that's not excluded from the fundamental. That can be very difficult. We want there to be a right way where there'll be the end of suffering and all people are respected, and it's good if we work for that. But at the same time, if we work for that from an attitude of I'm right and other people are wrong, I need to have this outcome met, I'm going to grab onto that idea, then we really will suffer. And we probably will add more suffering to the world, even if we get what we want. So there's an interesting play that continues about what it means, the withered means, and we talked yesterday about the withered just being a representation of the fundamental and everything. So we think withered is death, it's gone and it's completely gone. We see it that way. Dogen advises us to see it that way. And then he turns around and says, and there's still some life. But then he turns back around and says, but still some life means completely dead. So he doesn't let us land anywhere. And here also with the ocean, bone dry but not completely spent. So then you think, okay, it's bone dry, but there's maybe still some moisture, not completely spent. But then he turns around and saying, not spent is dryness. So we just can't, we can't land anywhere. But that's what the fundamental is. It's not landing somewhere. And I like that he says, when the person asks, is there anyone who can hear it? The dragon song, is there anyone who can hear it? It's also like asking, is there anyone who can't hear it? Well, that makes sense, even logically. Is there anyone who can hear it? There's a question in the background. Is there anyone who can't? And then he says, but putting aside for a moment the point that there is not a single person who does not hear it, at the time when there is no one in the world who has not heard it, where is the dragon's song? All right, so that is really confusing for our logical minds. Yeah, at putting aside for a moment the point that there is not a single person who does not hear it, so there's not a single person who does not hear it. If we said it in the positive way, it would be everyone hears it. There's no one who doesn't hear it. Everyone hears it. And at that time of everyone hearing it, or no one in the world who has not heard it, where is the dragon song? So we might say, well, it's right here. Everyone's hearing it. Didn't you just say everyone hears it? Everyone hears it. But where is it? And that's getting at that it's really not one thing. We're not talking about one sound that we can hear with our ears. Or as the preamble, the translator's notes from Nishijima and Cross translation said, it's referring to, let me read it again, because that was a great description. The moaning of dragons is not a sound, but something which cannot be heard with the ears alone. So it's not a sound, but it isn't apart from a sound either. That is quietness, nature, the universe, or reality. So if that's true, then why does Dogen say, ask us this? Why does he ask this question? Where is the dragon song? And then to make sure we got it, he says, quickly, quickly speak. Say something right now. And of course, we can't say anything, but we have to say something. So this is back and forth with, and this is really our life too, isn't it? We have to take a stand. And even if we don't take a stand, that's taking a stand. So we have to engage. How can we do this from the fundamental? How can we do this realizing the dragon song? Are there words to explain the dragon song is a question that should be asked. Even though the answer was no. The answer that the master gave was no, I have no words. But Dogen says, still, are there words to explain the dragon song is a question that should be asked. That's how we engage the fundamental with our heart, asking these questions that can't be answered. And then there's this beautiful, in this translation, I love the beautiful way it says, the sound made by the singing dragon is made naturally by mud and is air expelled from your nose. So in other words, it's so basic. It's just like the ground you're walking on, and it's you're breathing out. It's not even breathing, you know, breathing in, but the breathing out, because the breathing out is no effort. You might have some little bit of effort to breathe in, but the last thing a person does after they've died is they breathe out. They're dead, but the last thing that they actually did alive was the breathe in and then the breathing out. So it's like completely no effort. And it also, Dogen says, I don't know what the words are, which was the master's answer. I don't know what the words are is itself the dragon song. Okay, so I want to read the last paragraph, and then I'll stop for questions. And I don't know, I'm not sure. This might be Kaz Ta-Nehisi translation, but this was the translation that Joan Halifax read on the podcast I listened to. Now the dragon songs of Xingyen, Xishuang, and Dungshan come forth, forming clouds and forming water. They go beyond words, beyond saying eyeballs in the skull. This is thousand and myriad pieces of the dragon's song. It still holds joy is the croaking of frogs. It still holds consciousness is the singing of earthworms. Thus, the blood vein does not get cut off. A gourd succeeds a gourd. As it does not dry up, a pillar conceives a child. A lantern faces a lantern. So I'll just say a couple more things about the last few sentences. One other translation has the murmuring of earthworms, which I like better than singing, because I can just like murmuring. So the blood vein is the lineage. That's our lineage from teacher to student, etc. And the gourd succeeding a gourd is the gourd holds water. So, and some other places there's a more clear that the image that's being talked about is water poured from one gourd to the other. And then, so the idea of the lineage, like the water's poured and then it's poured to the, so it's continuing on. And still talking about the blood vein not drying up, a pillar conceives a child. So, of course, that's like an impossible thing. It's not even the stone woman. It's a pillar. So somehow, miraculously, life, something, you know, incredible, a child is born from completely dead thing. And then a lantern faces a lantern. I tried to find what other people said about that metaphor, but I couldn't. So there's a few things. One is that a lantern doesn't need another lantern, so it could be kind of just like, usually a lantern would be facing like the entryway or something to light something up. But it also could be the same as the gourd, like a lantern and then giving light to another lantern and passing it along, and which would fit with the transmission of the lamp, which is a collection of the lineage stories. So this is just representing that it's going on. This ungraspable teaching of the dragon song is somehow, even though it can't be described in words, it somehow is continuing to sing throughout the ages, and then it comes to us today. So I'm very grateful for it and for all the teachers and translators who have helped us to be able to have access to it. So, and thank you for listening and helping me together uncover something of the meaning here. And I'm interested if there are questions or comments. We have a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what, as I'm listening to this, I start out with like, I think I get it.
Yeah.
And then you talk a little more and I'm like, ooh, I don't even know where I am now. So just knowing that. The first piece of it I really liked was even the way I interpret the winter tree, even though when all hope feels as though it's lost, there's still life, there's still beauty. You were talking about a tree yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's winter. What I'm really interested in, and it's not exactly the story, but I'm really interested in how I can hold true to myself.
How you can what?
Hold true to myself.
Oh, hold true.
Speak my truth. In a situation with someone with whom I disagree. And still have, so what I hear in this is still be connected to something bigger. So when I'm talking about things about people's rights, and even maybe my rights, maybe, you know, my health, you know, coverage, whatever, I'm often coming from a place of fear. And so what this speaks to me is the ability to get, I'm not sure beyond it is necessarily, but be with it and see that it's part of maybe something bigger. But how to actually do that when I'm talking, I would like some tips.
Well, keep practicing. So I mentioned yesterday about changing the frame. So making the frame be really big, like, you know, okay, in a billion years, you know, the earth is gone. So what am I afraid of? And so, of course, we don't want to use that big frame to say it doesn't matter. We don't want to say, so it doesn't matter. And like in the story I told yesterday about the pitcher pitching the no-hitter, he didn't say, oh, well, you know, in a billion years, the earth is going to be a frozen snowball hurtling through space, so I might as well just walk off the field and not pitch. What the hell? Instead, he just kept doing it, but said, you know, but the outcome really doesn't matter in the whole scheme of things. But I'm still going to do my best. So sometimes that helps me if I just shift the frame a little bit to say, what am I really afraid of? I'm going to die in the end anyway. So can I shift the frame a little bit and then come back at this with speaking my truth and saying what's important, taking care of myself, taking care of others, but from not attaching to the outcome, because the ultimate outcome is we're all going to be gone. Does that, I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, it's not. It's one thing just to tell yourself that, but you know, the other piece is to sit with it, to sit with impermanence, either very consciously, like contemplating impermanence in your sitting, or else just sitting and you breathe in and out and you can see that there's nothing to hang on to. Welcome.
The part that I heard was the tree that is not disturbed is withered.
Oh.
Say that again. The tree that is not disturbed is a withered tree.
Yeah, I think that was in this translation.
Yeah, and I remember when I was up at Lake Superior in our cabin, and I noticed often there's like two trees that took root kind of too close to each other, and they're...
Mm-hmm.
And they are like way ahead of everyone else. And that agitation that... happens between in nature. You can see it. You can actually see it a lot of places, like flowers or a plant trying to grow up around a fallen tree or something. You know, and sometimes it's when I guess how I've taken that in is kind of the blessing of the action of mm-hmm. being disturbed mm-hmm. as a gift to life.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, speaking of today, climate, a whole lot of people are awake
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
are coming awake, and people who are part of the organizations that on climate change and Planned Parenthood and have no trouble now getting people's attention
mm-hmm.
in a way. And I was listening to Barack Obama's farewell speech, and in this awakeness we will grow as mm-hmm. a community. And in our personal life, that helps me not fear the challenges, whatever they may be, and there's no end to challenges. I remember Bjarne saying to me, and samsara is endless.
Hmm.
And I think samsara is there to help us grow.
Mm-hmm.
Not just individually,
mm-hmm.
but collectively as well. But it's nonetheless, when I hear that, the tree that's not disturbed is a withered tree. I just like, I hate that. I hate that about life. And I do have that bristling.
Mm-hmm.
I have to let that bristling happen. I can't get around it because mm-hmm. it's there.
But, you know, if Dogen were here, he'd probably say something like, well, but the bristling is also withered. You know, like, it's because he's using the withered as it's sort of the ground of everything. So there's that, too.
Yeah. Well, and Ken, you talk about, I don't know if it was you that often says, can I receive this?
Mm-hmm.
You and Kyoko
mm-hmm.
often.
Mm-hmm.
Can I receive this moment? Can I receive mm-hmm. this? Again and again.
Other ideas or questions?
I guess I just hear that there's a lot of, at first it's frustration that you don't understand the song or know the words, but then I kind of hear that there's a lot of choice in how you interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
know, there's value in spending time and asking questions and analyzing it, but then there's, if that's all you do, you're missing out a lot on a lot. So there's value in interacting in different ways or participating. And there's times when I ignore it too, which is not I wouldn't say necessarily a positive thing, but so I guess I moved from frustration from not understanding to some kind of freedom to have, to not always having to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if the song is absolute or is the truth, I guess it's good. I don't want, it would be frustrating in the long run if I could understand it, because that means I wouldn't like that I'm smarter than the absolute.
You put the absolute in a little box.
Well,
yeah.
I mess up all the time, and if I can understand the absolute, then that means everybody's in a lot of trouble. It's almost like some days it's frustrating, but then some days it's really comforting to know that my understanding of the absolute or the rules are changing, because I've got my limits and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way of describing the sort of swimming in it, of, you know, engaging, but then realizing the limits of engagement. Engaging the intellect or the analytical part, but then letting go of and ultimately trying to figure it out. I do remember there's some in some other Dogen fascicle where he says something like, you might think that this is beyond understanding, but it's just that you don't understand it. don't be saying, so in other words, don't be like, letting yourself off the hook from engaging it by just saying, oh yeah, well, this is just, you know, this is beyond words, I can't talk about it, you know, it's just the absolute. He says it's only your limits, you know, that are, so I mean, he could be kind of snarky sometimes. But at the time, that was really confounding to me, because I was just really churning with it. But now I appreciate that, what he was saying is just don't disregard that mind. That mind is included too. So don't disregard it and just say, oh yeah, I can never get it. So you can say, yeah, it's beyond words, but you still should ask the question, what are the words? He says that in this fascicle. That's an important question. Can we keep asking the question to which there's no answer to, and just let ourselves be with that and see what understanding evolves? In my experience, it's usually pretty profound if I can stay with it and really keep asking the questions. And then it's a profound basis for somehow, you know, almost inexplicably knowing what to do. You know, so then when I go into the world of this and that, I have more of a sense of feeling like what the correct path is in that moment. Anything else? Okay, thank you.
May our intention equally penetrate every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way.
Beings are